We're ready to get into the word this morning. Thank you, worship team, for a beautiful start and foundation to my message. And I just want to say thank you so much to your pastors. You are a blessed church, and as is Fremantle, to have wonderful men and women of God who love God, love His church, and are just incredible, upstanding people that are that you know that you can follow, that you know that you can trust, and that you know who will have your back and support and encourage. So thank you for having me, and it's just a blessing to be here. It's been a while. I have actually been here before, but it's wonderful to be back. Now, I guess you can see from my message title, which should be somewhere, are you battle ready? Are you battle ready? Now, your pastors have asked me to share something a little bit on the battles that we face every day. And as followers of Christ, how we can live in victory that Christ has already won for us on a daily basis. And so my question is to us, how battle ready are we? Because if we think about it, it is a question that we don't often ask ourselves. I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, I didn't say, oh, am I battle ready this morning? I didn't ask myself that question. And it is a question that as the Church of Jesus Christ, that sometimes we can become a little bit complacent in, that we can come a little bit comfortable in our walk with God and where we're at, and we actually forget that we are in a battle, that we are on a battleship, that when we sign up to follow Jesus Christ, we didn't sign up for, as it's been said before, the love boat. Even though there is great love shown to us from Father God, we actually signed up for a battleship. Because when we transfer from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, we score an enemy. And so that enemy, he is definitely not out to pat us on the back and encourage us. He is out to trip us up as the church of God. And so I believe that as the battle intensifies, and if we only need to look around the world today and we see, especially we don't get quite the same persecution, but I believe that in the years ahead we're going to see that change. And the Church of Jesus Christ will come under greater persecution because of the values, the morals, the ethical standards of this word that we stand on and adhere to and don't compromise on. So if we're going to be people that stand and stand strong in the day of battle or in just everyday life, we're going to be knocked out by an enemy who is out to pull us down, who is out to just come between us and following God and allowing His work of grace in our lives. The other day, I was reading an article in the news on my phone, and it was talking about people that have been scammed out of lots of money. And I was reading this article and I was feeling really sorry for some of the people that had been scammed out of a lot of money. And then other things I was reading, I was like, how could you be so gullible? How could you fall for that scheme? I would never have fallen for that. And as I was thinking that, I just heard voice of Holy Spirit say to me, hey, that's no different to my people. They fall for the enemy's schemes, and this includes me, many times. And I thought, you know, that is so true, that we can fall because our enemy is a master of deception, and we can fall for him. He's not called the father of lies for nothing. I believe deception is like his middle name. And And he is out to deceive and to rob, steal, and destroy, as the Bible says. So that's a description of the enemy that comes against us. And it's why Peter, the Apostle Peter, warned us in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. He said, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil, because he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So that makes our enemy, the devil, a predator. And he's obviously out to make us his victims or his prey. And I don't know about you, but if I was in a place where I knew there was deadly predators like lions or anything else around, I'd be very alert. I'd be very watchful. I'd be very much like, oh my gosh, and that. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us where to be afraid, and we'll hear more of that in a little bit, but he does say to be alert, to keep your eyes open. And so that's why I believe that as people of God, that we need to be alert. That word watch means to have the alertness of a guard at night. To have the alertness of a guard at night. You know, sentries and those that are staying watch in wartime, they have to be alert, because if they let down that guard, their guard, the enemy can infiltrate and overrun the camp. We need to be as alert against the enemy's schemes and his devices that he wants to trip us up with. It means we are spiritually awake. It means we're paying close attention to, we're very cautious, we're ready, we're prepared, and we're alert. I love the Message translation, because that just puts it a little bit like this. Keep a cool head, stay alert, because the devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. So anybody going to nap this morning? I'm definitely not going to be caught napping. I want to stay awake, I want to stay alert, and I want to stay watchful. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to keep our eyes open and our ears open to hear what Holy Spirit is saying, and also to see and be aware of the enemy's devices? Well, I believe, number one, we have to know who our enemy is. And if we don't know who our enemy is, then we are not going to recognize. If you don't know somebody you're supposed to meet, if you're at the airport and you're told to meet somebody, watch out for them as they come through the doors, but you don't know what they look like, you're going to be greeting every single person that walks in through those doors. Excuse me, are you? Excuse me. One time, actually, when I went to Bali, I was supposed to be being picked up by someone. There were two cherries that were, and so I had Ebel Cherry was written on a sign, and I went over, I got in the car with this guy, and he goes, so are you going to such and such a place? And it was at Uluwatu, and I went, no. And I said, I'm going to Nusa Dua. He said, I'm told to take you to Uluwatu. I'm sitting in the car, oh my goodness. Anyway, who knew? There were two cherries. He'd picked the wrong one. Obviously, he dumped me and my bags out of the car and took off running back to the airport to find the right one. But see, he didn't know what I looked like. And that's why we need to know what our enemy looks like. We need to know a little bit about him and how he works. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit first up. For those of you, this might be totally familiar. And you're like, yeah, I know all that. Well, let it just refresh us this morning and encourage us again to be people who are alert and watchful. See, Satan, first of all, is not like God. He is not everywhere at the same time. He is not omnipresent. So we need to know what he is not. Because I hear a lot of people saying, oh, Satan did this, Satan did that, Satan tempted, and everything is like Satan himself personally was picking on them. Well, I want to tell you this morning, that is not the case. The chances of it being Satan himself who is deceiving, upsetting. Now, is Satan behind everything? Absolutely. But where Satan originated from was he was actually an archangel in heaven. And his name, ironically, was Daystar, or Morning Light. So he was an angel of light. And now he's the perpetrator of darkness because he rebelled against God. He had pride in his heart and he rebelled. And so God had to deal with him by casting him out of heaven along with a number of the angels. So he now works through a troop of fallen angels and demonic spirits. So that is usually who we come up against, who seek to oppress, who seek to deceive. Now, does Satan behind everything? Absolutely. He's the leader, he's the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. Paul explains it like this in Ephesians 6:12. He says, our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers which are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world, which of course is the devil, and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. I like the way he puts that. So there we go. We are actually up against an unseen power who controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. He's also known as the God or ruler of this world or age or prince of the power of the air. And I think sometimes the church has done a disservice in the sense of, I remember back in the probably the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, there was a great emphasis on the demonic. And there were so many things that we were told we shouldn't do, buy, be a part of, listen to. And so we were almost on the back foot of going, oh my gosh, what are we allowed to do? What happens? Oh, if I buy that, oh, will the enemy get you know, deceive me? Oh, if I listen to that, oh, will the enemy... And we were started to get, I think, afraid of what the enemy could do. And then you've got the other side of things which people see, and then they see, you know, the demonic behind everything when it's just life. And it's not necessarily a demonic thing that's coming against you. It just so happens it's part and parcel of being in this world, but not the same as it, as we're told to be. But we can never underestimate the devil's power and his ability either in our lives. He is the major influence on our world's philosophies, education, and commerce. He definitely has many of the world's values, thoughts, ethics, and false religions under his control and influence, and continually operate out of lies and deceptions. Jesus said, as I said before, that we live in this world, but we're not to look the same as it. We're not to be the same as it. And I think we've got to know what sort of ways does the enemy come. It's all very well to talk about the enemy, but what sort of ways does the kingdom of darkness seek to influence us in? Well, Kevin Connor, in his book, Foundations of Christian Doctrine, lists a number of them, and I just think they are brilliant. I love that book. If you're into doctrine, get that book. It is an incredible book. He's up in glory now, Kevin Connor, but it is it has got some incredible doctrine in it. He lists this, the Satan's activities or the demonic powers who come as temptation. One of them is temptation. Now, we're tempted. Temptation comes to doubt God's word and and specifically to disobey what God would be telling us to do. He tempts us to say, has God really said you shouldn't do that? Has God really said that that's going to work like that? Has God really said you shouldn't do that? And he continually asks and appeals to that, tempts us by appealing to our fleshly desires. And if it's something we're really, we're like, ah, yeah, I don't think that was God after all. It's probably me. Yep, I'll just go ahead and do it. Sin, obviously, an obvious one. Too many sins that I could list here, so I'm not going to. I'll let you fill in the blanks there. Deception. As I said before in the very beginning, deception is Satan's middle name. It's how his demonic troops work, to deceive and to actually cause us to be blinded in some areas. And you know, I've been around the body of Christ for a long time, since I was a little girl, and I've seen many people pulled back and out of the kingdom of God because they've fallen for deception in some area. And deception is something that, as I said, is his main characteristic. He deceives us into thinking that what God has told us to do is not correct, that his word really is a guideline, but you can have broader parameters than that. And he deceives us into thinking that we know better than God in a particular area. And many Christians will fall under his influence in that area. So deception is one of his weapons. Accusations. You know, he accuses us. He's called the accuser of the brethren because he accuses us constantly. You know, we are not perfect. I don't know if any of you have realized that, but none of us are actually perfect. And so Satan will come along if we've tripped up. The powers of darkness, they come and they say to you, you know, you failed in that area. Do you know you're a big failure? You allowed that sin, or you were deceived in that area. And we allow shame and condemnation to sit on us. And he loves to point out, who do you think you are? You're nothing important. Why would God love you? Why would God want you to do such and such? So he loves to work in that area of accusing us and pointing out our flaws and our imperfections. And you know what? He often gets us as believers and Christians to do his work for him. Often, we're the ones that are speaking against people. Often we're the ones that are critical and speak against someone. And we're the ones that are actually doing the accusations, sitting in judgment on one another. So he loves that as another tool of his. Affliction of our mind and our bodies. He can influence and affect our physical and our mental health. And I'm not saying everything of these things is all demonic. I'm just saying he can. These can be areas. Opposition against all things and people who advance the kingdom of God. Oppose, oppose, oppose. He's opposed to the kingdom of God advancing. He's opposed to you being transformed to be more and more like Jesus. He's opposed to your kids growing up and following Christ. He's opposed to everything that would advance God's kingdom, because the only thing he's interested in is advancing the kingdom of darkness. And so I think as we stand and we have our eyes opened to see those truths, we can stay watchful, we can stay alert, and we can recognize his tactics. One of the things we need to remember is that Satan's main domain is over unbelievers. As believers, as people that have given their lives and hearts to Jesus Christ, you've come out of the kingdom of darkness and you are now in the kingdom of light, under the domain of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your ruler, he is your Lord, and he is your God. You are not under Satan's influence and his dominion unless you open a door, unless you give him permission by allowing sin to remain in our lives, by allowing his work of evil to influence and infiltrate. So we have to, our first point, I believe, is that we know our enemy. We have to know our enemy and how he operates, who he is, and be able to stand against him by knowing ourselves and our authority. So our second point is we need to know ourselves. We know our enemy, we know how he works, how he operates, we learn to recognize, and we get more discerning as time goes on. One of the ministry gifts that we can seek for is a discerning of spirits, that we can ask God, help us, give us greater discernment to recognize and to grow that gift in our lives of discerning what is the Spirit of God and what is Holy Spirit, so that we don't fall prey to the enemy. So as we said before, that Peter says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion. Okay, so I'm not an animal expert, but I did read an article that said actually lions are not the fastest creatures on the planet, but they catch their prey by lying in wait and by being cunning, by lying in wait, hiding and watching out for the weak, the vulnerable, or the animals that lag behind the herd and wander off independently and separate themselves from the protection of the herd. Now, I believe there's a great lesson in that for us as the Church of Jesus Christ, that we were not made to do our Christian life on our own, independently. And we all go through battles. We all go through stuff. We all get knocked around in this life. And if we're going to try and get through it on our own, chances are you might get knocked off or knocked out or become victim to the enemy by trying to live life independently. We were created to be in community. You've chosen to be part of this community, I presume, most of you. Stay in community. Have one another's backs. Look out for one another. Be aware when you see somebody who's looking a bit miserable, looking down, or who's doing it tough, going through a battle. We were designed to work together. I've got your back. I'm standing beside you. How can I encourage you? How can I help you? And that is where, as a Church of Jesus Christ, we stay in unity. We stay in unity. We're not there to criticize. We're not there to pick faults. We're not there to have our preferences met every single time. But we are here to keep unity together. We do not want to be picked off by the enemy by doing our own thing and being easy prey because of weakness and vulnerability that we might be going through a situation. Church, let's be a church that stands together, supports one another through good times. It's like a marriage. Through sickness and health and good times and bad times, whatever it takes, that we're together and we stay supportive and we stand behind the leadership and we say, as a church, we're going forward because we're family and we stick together and we protect one another. I love the Church of Jesus Christ, and I have had over my 60 plus years on this planet many opportunities to get offended, many opportunities to quit, many opportunities to take offense, hold unforgiveness, hold bitterness in my heart, which separates me off from the community. By holding that in my heart and separates between people and brothers and sisters. And I believe that's when we become victim. And we need to be a people who release forgiveness to one another, who walk in forgiveness. And you know, we all get hurt. We all, and I'm not minimizing, some people get terribly hurt, terribly, have terrible damage done to them in their lives. But as Christians and followers of God, we don't give the enemy an inch by holding on to that. We take a stance of, I will choose to forgive. Now, that might be a journey that takes you over months and sometimes years of letting go, of releasing, of choosing to forgive over and over again. But the Bible says if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. So for me, in my life, there's been many opportunities where I've had to make that choice. I'm not going to let this knock me out. I'm not going to let this harden my heart. I'm not going to give the enemy any inch in this. I'm going to choose to forgive. I'm going to choose to release. I'm going to choose a path of healing. And it does take time. Sometimes it takes going to somebody, being vulnerable, admitting what's going on, what you're feeling, and walking with someone in a prayer ministry, going to a counselor, going to, for professional help. Sometimes it's on our knees in before God with this word, and he speaks to us, and he comforts us, and he challenges us, and he heals us up. But if we know our enemy and we know ourselves, then we are able to stand against the enemy's tactics. And we can do that by, John tells us in 1 John 4:4, he says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over these people. When he was talking at that time about the false prophets and the spirits of Antichrist that were operating at that time in the church. Why could they do that? Why did they get a victory? How did they get the victory? Because the Holy Spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Did you get that this morning? That should bring something rising within your spirit this morning. That the Holy Spirit who lives within each and every one of you, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, is far greater than any power of the enemy in the world. He is greater, 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 greater. I want this to settle in your spirit. I want you to be saying it to yourself as you look in the mirror and do your hair in the morning. Say, greater is he. Greater is Holy Spirit who is within me than any power of the enemy in the world. Can you do that in this next week? Declare that over your life, that God, Holy Spirit, power of Christ within you is far greater than any power of the enemy that would come against us in any battle. You know, sometimes there's a letting go of stuff that's in our life, as I said before. Sometimes we have to deal with sin. Sometimes we have to bring it to the light. Sometimes we have to close the doors on the enemy and say, you know what? I'm not giving you an inch in this area. I am not going to let you control my life with bitterness. I am not going to let you control my life with anything that might be generational. I'm going to walk in the freedom that Christ has purchased for me. And how do we do that? We do that by being people of God. When David went out to fight against Goliath, Saul offered him armor. He said, put this armor on, you'll be fine to go out and fight this incredible giant. David knew himself. He knew who he was in God. He knew what he had would be sufficient. Saul's armor was not going to cut the mustard for him. He couldn't operate in that. That was not what he's used to. Each of you have a weapon to use against the Goliaths in your life, the battles you face, the things that you go through. You have a weapon, and that weapon is the Word of God. That weapon today is not five stones and a sling like David had, but it is the Word of God. To the degree that you know this Word of God, to the degree that you have this Word of God hidden in your heart, is the degree that you will stand and you will declare to the enemy, you might have come against me and think you're stronger than, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. You come against me, but I come against you because my God is greater. If you know the Word of God, you use it like Jesus used when he was against the enemy, was tempting him in the wilderness, and he went back to Satan every time, it is written. It is written. It is written. And I believe today that there are people here going through all sorts of things, that there are some that have financial needs. If you have a financial need, you can declare, it is written, God is my provider and he will provide for my every need. Not my want, but my every need. And sometimes God's timing stinks. Let's just put it out there. God's timing can seem so long and we have to wait so long. Sometimes we think, do you know what I'm going through? Of course he does. But we stand on what God's word says and we don't give up. We continue to use the word of God like the offensive weapon that it's intended to be. It is written. It is written. I need guidance and direction in my life. Well, it is written that if I acknowledge and trust you in all my ways, you will direct my paths. So take that, enemy, because that's what my God says, and I hold this word far higher than any of your lies and any of your deception. Maybe there's been some sin, some bondages, some things that have tied us up in that area. Well, and we're trying to break free. You can break free by declaring the word of God. It is written, enemy, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It is written, enemy, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of death. So I'm going to stand on this word and I'm going to say, it is written that if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So many more promises that he has in his word. But we need to declare that because you know what? Just as David declared that he was coming against Goliath in the name of the Lord of hosts, we need to not only know our enemy, know ourselves, we need to know who our God is. That he is greater than, bigger than, higher than, more powerful than any work of the enemy that would come against us. That we can, whatever battle it is that we might be facing, whatever battle comes our way, both now and in the future, we can stand and declare, I know my God. I know who he is. I know his power is greater than any power of the enemy. I know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know that I can be strong, just as Paul said in to the church at Ephesus. He said, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Not be strong in our own strength. Not try and battle through on our own. Not try and get through it with our intellect and our wisdom. But be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. put on the full armor of God that we might be able to take our stand against the devil's schemes. So we will not fall. We will not become victim to his schemes and scams. We won't fall for his tricks. We won't fall for his lies and deception if we stay strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So God's raising us up, church, to be people who are battle ready. Battle ready. People who know our God, know our enemy, and know ourselves. Most importantly to that. And I want to finish with Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, which says, "But the people who know their God will be strong and will resist the enemy," or as other translations say, "will be strong and do mighty deeds." So church, I want to pray for us today that we will be those kind of people who are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Is that okay today? Yeah. Can we stand to our feet? And let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this group of people here. I thank you, Lord, that you know each one by name. I thank you, Father God, that you have a plan and you have a purpose for their life. And that where the enemy would come and derail, and I see that now in the spirit, I see a set of railway tracks. And I see you as like on a carriage in a train and the train's going, but then the track is broken up ahead. There's a slip and the track is all broken. I see this carriage going off down into this gully because the track is broken. And I see the enemies attempted to derail some of you. And there's been some areas where you feel you've absolutely fallen into a hole. Fallen into a hole. Today, the word of the Lord comes to you and he says, "Be strong, my people. Be strong in me and in the power of my might, because I am the God who can turn things around, who can turn even what the enemy would mean to trip you up, to make you fall. I can turn that around and make it work for your good, but only as you put your faith, your confidence, and your trust in me, the Lord your God. Only as you do not lean on your own understanding and your own wisdom and your own intellect to get you out of that hole. Only as you choose to let go of any disappointment, to let go of any unforgiveness, to let go of sin in your life, then I can turn things around. Give it to me this morning. Give it to me this morning. Those things that would derail, those things that would hold you back, those things that would hold you down, give them to me this morning. Give them to me. Know that I am greater than, more powerful than. Settle in your hearts today. I am for you, not against you. Greater is he who is within you than the power of the enemy in the world. This morning, settle. Settle in my heart, in your heart this morning. My power is greater than any power of the enemy. Thank you, Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord, this morning. God, we thank you that we can be a people who are strong in you and in your mighty power, that the enemy will not derail or deceive, that we will not give him a foothold, that we will not open a doorway to him, but we will be a people who are watchful, who are alert, on guard against any of his devices or schemes, so we do not fall prey to that. In Jesus' name, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you are doing. I thank you for the foundation which has been laid. And I thank you, God, for what you are going to continue to build in and through this church in this community, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Bless you all.